Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC. Hello, I'm Kath Leahy. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, Mancini plays down his bust-up with Balotelli. Benitez welcomes Barr to Chelsea.
He's a good player, has proved in the Premier League that he can score goals, he has experience, and we were looking for a player that we could play right now because we have one game each 3 days.
And South Africa's cricketers demolished New Zealand in the first test match in Cape Town. But first, the Manchester City manager Roberto Mancini has played down his training ground bust-up with striker Mario Balotelli after photos emerged of the Italians being separated at the training ground on Thursday. It was thought that this could spell the end of Balotelli's time with the English Premier League, but Mancini has said he'll give him 100 chances. Mancini went on to say it wasn't a fight and claims the pictures made it look worse than it was.
We were playing a game and Mario kicked his teammates. And I said to him, go inside, leave the pitch. I said no, and I take his shirt and push him out of the pitch. This is what really happened. Nothing special. No fight. Or this is not true.
Now, Chelsea have announced the signing of Demba Ba for an undisclosed fee, and he'll be eligible to make his debut in the side's FA Cup tie at Southampton later on Saturday. The Chelsea boss, Rafa Benitez, says the side need a striker, and Ba fits the bill.
He's a good player, has proved in the Premier League that he can score goals, he has experience, and we were looking for a player that we could play right now because we have one game each 3 days, so we couldn't be waiting, and I thought it's the kind of player that... In the Premier League, he can do well from the first day. We have to be sure that we have enough options now in attack. So with Fernando and Sturridge, leaving Fernando just as a main striker was always a problem. So we have now a different option, a player that maybe can play even behind Fernando, maybe with Fernando, maybe on his own. So it's a different option for me as a manager, and that is good.
West Ham have signed the Arsenal forward Marouan Chamakh. He's been a bit of a flop at Arsenal since signing from Bordeaux, scoring only 8 league goals in 40 games. So why does the West Ham manager Sam Allardyce want him?
From my point of view, the situation I have with Andy Carroll being injured and Modibo Maiga going to the African Nations Cup means this moment in time as a striker we have Carlton Cole and that's it until Andy gets fit.
It's the third round of the world's oldest knockout competition, the FA Cup, this weekend. 64 clubs are all still dreaming of glory, and this is where many smaller clubs have the chance to embarrass some of the Premier League giants. Back in 1987, it was Coventry City's day at Wembley when they beat Tottenham Hotspur 3-2 after extra time. The two sides meet again in the third round on Saturday. Coventry are now in the third tier of English football, with Spurs third in the Premier League. The Coventry manager who lifted the cup that day was John Sillett. He feels the FA Cup still has that special feeling.
Sometimes I look at it and it's still got that great moment for me, and it's still got that great moment for lots of fans, and I just feel that at times that they're letting it down when they change sides a little bit. You know, they'll say, oh, we'll weaken the side a bit and give players a rest. Worldwide, it's still known as the FA Cup because I've got so many messages from Australia. I don't know why Australia supported Coventry in that match, because I had loads of fan mail from Australia and Zimbabwe, places like that. You know, they all wrote to the club and just said, wanted us on tour. We could have picked anywhere in the world to go on tour after that match. So therefore, it meant so much to people abroad.
The former Uruguay international Gus Poyet is an FA Cup winner with Chelsea. He's described the competition as the greatest in the world. His Brighton team face Newcastle United, while Arsenal face their fellow Premier League side Swansea City on Sunday. The Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger, who's won the FA Cup 4 times with Arsenal, says it does matter.
It is something special because it's something exciting. It's something that... of course, is watched all over the world, and that has a special history in England. I always respected that, and I'm always sad when we don't win it or when we go out. I think we will put our maximum effort in on Sunday to win the game.
And there's lots more on all the FA Cup fixtures on our website, bbcworldservice.com. Now, the president of Zambian football has told the BBC's Newsday programme that Nigeria's national coach Stephen Keshi was right when he claimed that coaches with white skin are given far more time than native African coaches to succeed in the game. 9 of the 16 teams taking part in the Africa Cup of Nations later this month have a European or South American coach. Zambia's own coach is the Frenchman Hervé Renard. Kalusha Boelia says African football needs to find a balance.
At the end of the day, what we are trying to do is to improve our game in Africa. And we are looking at local coaches, we're looking at expatriate coaches. And I think that we have to find the balance and give the coaches. We don't want to give a coach something that he cannot be able to attend. And we have to be realistic, having been in this game. But more often than not, I think in some way, Keshi is right, because, you know, sometimes the people who are going to make decisions about a coach, you know, it's a combination of ministry, government, football association, and that is where it becomes complicated.
Meanwhile, the current Uganda coach, Bobby Williamson, totally disagrees with Stephen Keshi's comments.
That's rubbish as far as I'm concerned, because I never came here for the money. I came here for the job and a new experience and such a working place. I've never regretted it. When I first came here, the money that I was being paid was just enough to pay the mortgage. It's improved because I've been relatively successful, SACAFA wise, and getting so close to the Cup of Nations qualifications. But I don't know. I don't know why people come out with rash statements like that. But we're all professionals. If you can get a better job in Europe for more money, I'm sure they'd be offering a shot. Just like most African players that are playing in Britain, they're not there just for the love of football. They're there to make money. They're professionals.
One result from Spain on Friday, and Real Betis drew level on 31 points with fourth place Malaga after Rubén Castro and Jorge Molina both scored for their 2-1 win at Real Zaragoza. The unbeaten leaders Barcelona will be hoping for a 17th win in Real Zaragoza. The unbeaten leaders Barcelona will be hoping for a 17th win in 18 matches. They host their city rivals Espanyol on Sunday. Now to cricket here on the BBC World Service, and in Sydney, Australia are currently 387 for 8 on the third day of their third test against Sri Lanka. That's a first innings lead of 93, and Matthew Wade is not out on 68. South Africa have beaten New Zealand by an innings and 27 runs in the first test in Cape Town. It seemed to be a pretty straightforward victory for South Africa after the tourists had collapsed to 45 all out before lunch on the opening day of the match. Dean Brownlee's maiden test century helped New Zealand to 232 for 5 at lunch on the third day after South Africa had declared their first innings on 347 for 8. However, 5 wickets fell for just 23 runs, and New Zealand ended up 27 runs short of making the world number one side bat again. The BBC's and the New Zealand cricket commentator Brian Waddle explains the Black Caps showed plenty of courage to compete with the home side.
Yes, there was certainly more fight there. Nothing was ever going to end the horrors of that first innings, and they were never going to get into a position where they could win the game. But there was enough evidence from the middle order performance to show that they can compete. And if the pitch conditions, as expected in Port Elizabeth, are just a little flatter, then they may well be able to offer something. The big mistake, of course, was batting first on that pitch. Graham Smith acknowledged that he would have bowled first, and New Zealand got themselves caught up against the best bowling attack in the world in being dismissed for 45. But in the second innings, we saw from Brownlee, we saw from Watling, and we saw from McCullum some signs that there is a bit of quality in the batting, and we saw from McCullum some signs that there is a bit of quality in the batting. There's just going to be need to be a little bit more than pure fight. There needs to be something that gives them the chance to put pressure back on South Africa, which they never really did.
Brian Wardle reporting from Cape Town. Finally, some tennis news for you. And Nikolai Davydenko produced a stunning display to beat top seed and world number 5 David Ferrer 6-2, 6-3 to reach the Qatar Open final. The Russian will now face the Frenchman Richard Gasquet in Saturday's final. More on all those stories on our website, bbcworldservice.com. For now, that's the latest world sport from the BBC.